Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 5, we were talking about the body that we will have in eternity, either in heaven or hell. Listen closely as we pick up with that thought today.
For the Bible stands.
We have an eternal spirit. But that spirit, when it's born in a physical body, is separated from God for eternity unless we realize we're sinners and we turn from sin to the one who paid for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, as 1 John 2:2 says. And so, and we're separated unless we turn to Jesus Christ. Our sin will be dealt with then in the fact that it is placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. It is paid in full. But now we are His child. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. But the thing about this transaction, He doesn't buy you without your permission. He pays a price, but you come to either accept His offer or you reject. Rejection is eternity in the lake of fire. Some of you listening to me now may be in your 20s. Some may be up in your 90s. But whether in your 20s or your 90s, perhaps you realize how short life is. And eternity is forever. That spirit in you is going to continue to live and to live and to live forever. In heaven, you're with Jesus Christ. Oh, with a body fashioned likened to His glorious body, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. But if you're without Christ, you too will have a body in hell. I think your body that you die in right now is in the grave and it disintegrates, but when you appear before the judgment and cast to the eternal lake of fire, the body that you have to go into that eternal lake will be able to feel pain. It'll feel the hopelessness. It'll feel everything, and it'll be unable to escape or cease. And that'll be your life forever, night and day, forever and ever. Poor man. Now, the Bible teaches that. You say, well, I just don't think that's fair. I don't think a good God, well, I don't think a good person would reject God's offer of salvation. I don't think a good person would say it doesn't mean anything if Jesus died on the cross for my sins and paid the penalty that all holy God demands because of His great holiness and purity. He paid it all for me that I couldn't pay. And then you say He's unfair when He's willing to do it for you, but you have to receive it. Oh, my friend, sometimes, you know, some people, you don't know if they're intelligent or not till they open their mouth. People that say, I don't believe a good God would do that, proves there is no intelligence about spiritual, eternal things from God. Now, the new birth saves us from that wrath as we receive a new nature from God. And John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And we think of John 3, when He says, you must be born again. It's the idea of generation, generated life, everlasting life. That is a new nature from God. You are not born again and again and again spiritually after the new birth, just as one is not born again and again and again physically after their first physical birth. That's why the perfect tense is used here, showing us an action that took place in the past. Our salvation was paid for in the past, but the blood's efficiency has, and they say efficacy is where they like to say it, but it's, again, the same idea. It has a continuing result to save all those who come under the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll hear sing songs of the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flow, lose all their guilty stains. It's paid in full because Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed white as snow. And on you can go with all those great songs about the blood. And the passive part is we received it, but we did not generate it ourselves. You see, you cannot be good enough to earn salvation. All men need a Savior. That is why Jude 24 states it this way. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You don't present yourself faultless. Oh, no. It is Jesus Christ. 10. When we are seen, we are in Christ, Ephesians 1:6 says. When we appear before God, we're in Christ. So when God looks at our record, he's looking at Jesus Christ. We're in him, and therefore we are accepted in the beloved. That's why so often I sign almost all my letters with in Christ. Because it's a great, great spiritual truth. In Christ. And in Christ forever and ever. Oh, my friend, I hope you're in Christ, and I hope that he is your Lord and Savior and that you have received him. He's the one who keeps us. You either believe it or you reject it. God has provided all of that as birth, marriage, etc., and as evident truth of what God does for us in salvation. Our duty is seen in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't work for it. God provided. God provided. No child ever decided, I'm going to be born. No. That was his parents' idea before he was even thought, okay. And so, whether a child ever had a body or a thought, his parents wanted a child. Acts 17:30-31 says, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he's appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, this salvation is not for a select few. Okay, it's for all men, he said. But it's God's commandment for all men to repent. He didn't say all men to do a work. Repent, that is, change your mind, change the fact that you're not going to live for self, you're not living for sin. Now you belong to Christ. He's the Lord. He's the Master. He's the God, and not you. Now, since that is an evident truth, what that then is a truth that we need to accept. So, with the evident truth that we see before us, what then is the evident testimony? If our love for the Lord is active and real, we'll also love those who were saved by him, although they may be, as we are, so often, not very lovable. But he said in verse 2 here, 1 John 5, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So we need to have love for the children of God. In this flesh, we can still offend and wound one another. Many of us carry scarred spirits. Sometimes it's words and other times it's deeds. But as God does not give us up, rather he continually works in our heart that we might seek to be reconciled in truth and doctrine. With the spirit of forgiveness in our heart for those who have wounded us through words or some other offense. Sometimes it's our part, and we must confess of our sin to God and to the ones that we have offended. I've had people who years ago said some bad things and left our church. I've had it even from my first church that I pastored. I had two that called me in the past 2 or 3 years. I hadn't talked to them in 30-something years. And they called me to apologize, admitting they were wrong. Had others, it's just been a couple of years, but and just all a spectrum over the years has happened several times. And what I learned from that is that when people get right with God and they're honest about it and true about it, God lays it on their heart to get right with the ones they have wronged. Now, I've told men and ladies, and people will disagree with me, especially the religious psychologists, that you were in adulterous sin with someone, you call that person up, just like the woman at the well, just like the Zacchaeus, you get in touch with those people and let them know God has changed your life. You let them know that there was no pleasure in that adulterous relationship. You let him know that it is the greatest regret of your life and that it did not physically or spiritually or in any other way satisfy, and that the relationship is not still special. They're not still the person you'll always love. There are men out there. It's unfortunate, but it's more so with men than women. But women do this too sometimes. They have relationships and then they'll say, you know, for the children's sake, we got to break this off. You know, they're being noble. But you'll always be the love of my life. That is the biggest bunch of baloney that's ever been made. You see, what's happening is things are closing in and they're trying to get out of it without hassle and losing face. And so that's what they do. And you know somebody like that, but whether that happened or not, you were in sin, apologize, make it right.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.